This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, Kia ora, and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Kia ora, friend.
Good morning. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, morning, Mick.
Top of the morning.
Never optimistic, eh?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, I can see some blue sky. And got to remember, we had a lovely May. We had a beautiful run of weather. So this last week's been a bit of a... It is the first week of winter, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's definitely been that way.
Dank.
And it's, you know, my shoes have got a bit damp, and the grass is now damp, and even the rabbit's looking a bit sad this morning, so hopefully I don't have to dig a hole in the rain. Sorry, Lisa. Yeah.
Hopefully
not old rabbit.
What do you mean by old for a rabbit?
Oh, I think, I don't know how it is. They can live quite a while, but it's just outside.
Maybe not the environs for it, eh?
Yeah, he's got a hutch and hay and he gets well fed.
Is the hutch dry?
Yeah, the hutch is dry and a bit of fresh hay in it. He's been outside the last few days and I think, I should go in and have a look, make sure there's not a rat curled up in the hutch, so that's why he's outside.
Dong the rat.
I'm not a rabbit expert. Yeah.
No, nor am I. I thought they were pests on the farm, but that's all I think of them. Yes, in yesterday's mail, we got our voting papers, so there's Margaret and I should say, for the Well Energy Trust. And I think we spoke about it last time, because it was just briefly in the papers, had a list of the candidates, so you got the booklet.
It's quite interesting, because I was at a meeting, and someone brought up about the Well Trust.
Yeah.
And and its background, etc. There's Well Trust, which is the electricity side, and there's Trust Waikato. Mm. But they were quite confused. A lot of people thought it was one and the same, but it's not. It's two separate trusts. And if I'm right, Well Trust comes from the old days of the electricity when it was owned by we the people, and not was probably a lot better system in my mind. Then we privatised, and this was sort of a bit of a compensation to the public, saying, oh, we're going to form a... Some of the money can go towards the community.
Yeah.
And Trust Waikato was, from memory, from the old Waikato Savings Bank. Would that be right, Craig? Something like that.
Yeah. Trust Waikato.
Same thing when they sold that out, went privatised and it disappeared.
Yeah.
Some money went into a community pot.
There was Trust Waikato. I think there was Trust. I remember there was Trust South.
Often I think they all went into various trusts around the country.
Okay. This voting, so you can do it in three ways. You can vote by post, because you've got an envelope. You can vote online if you want to, and they give you an access code and a password to do that.
Yeah.
Or you just drop it into a vote box somewhere in the city, or if you live out of town, at the Tika Whatu Library or the Waikato District Council main office in Naruahia.
Oh, I suppose it's a wider area, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
In Hamilton City.
And the drop-off box is also at Chartwell Library, Dinsdale Library, and the main library in town, Garden Place.
Yeah.
And it gives a list of all the candidates, so it means that you have to decide from this list who you would like to vote
for. How many candidates?
I didn't physically count them, to be frank.
How many
votes do you get?
How many votes do you get?
Six or seven?
I think six or seven.
In order of preference, is it? Like STV sort of thing? Or?
I'm not sure.
I think that because I didn't bring the other part of it.
Okay.
Seven trustees are elected to the trust every 3 years by electors in the trust's district.
Okay, yeah.
To have your say on who will run the trust for the next 3 years, read the booklet.
Okay.
And if you like who you see there, then you pick seven of those of these people.
Yeah.
If you don't like what you see, you don't vote for anybody.
Well, yes.
Yes. I would sort of look at people who have a community focus on...
Well, community background which gives you a bit of an idea, you know.
Just
because someone says, I'm here for the community, you're here for the community and what do you do?
And you hear nothing more. I would like to hear what they have done for the community, not what they've done for business.
Mm.
Yes. Mm. Okay, so voting closes noon Friday, the 26th of June, so you've got a very short window, and voting documents will be accepted up until the 2nd of July, 2026. Yeah, so there you go. The Energy Trust elections, or election of trustees.
And the reason really why people, encourage people to vote is they do have a large pot of money that they distribute to community groups, etc. There's always a danger that, and I've talked about over the years, there's been various arguments that could disappear in the sense that they could go back to some other system or whatever. So it's quite good to be active. And if they get a large, reasonably large voting pool and people vote for people who say they're going to support the community, it keeps it strong, I guess.
We're lucky we grabbed ours because they must have been there a little while because it felt quite damp.
We haven't got ours on my side of the river.
Yeah, so you haven't. So we did yesterday, as I said earlier.
It will be damp if it's been in the letterbox.
But I'm just thinking in terms of, I don't know. Margaret actually saw it when we drove back from. She picked me up, and she could spot it in there. I'm just thinking that how many of these things we just
spoil.
So. That's kind of, keep that in mind, people. It's a democratic process. So exercise your right.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a landlord or a owner of a property. You just have to be a citizen.
It's we the people stuff. So, and it does, and you may consider it because basically you may belong to a voluntary organisation that gets a grant.
On that, I'm presuming that it applies to everyone on the electoral roll, does it?
Yes, eligible voters
in the area.
Okay. Eligible voters, that could be, it's me, you. Yeah,
so it's not relying on whether you use power or anything else.
No. It's you're on the electoral roll, that's how you get these things.
Cool.
Yeah, so exercise your right, people. What else was there in the world today? Well, one interesting thing, the Chinese ban on the four MPs who went to Taiwan.
Really?
Yes, they were visiting Taiwan. It's probably one of their things that they normally...
Junkets.
That's a normal junket.
Can you say that out loud? These are hardworking MPs that...
Well, there were, I think there may be one of them. And
taxpayer-subsidised trips.
They were given a ban of a year by the Chinese.
Why? How did they upset the Chinese?
Because of the one China policy.
Okay. They weren't offering munitions or...
They were just visiting there, yes.
I'm just not quite sure how they upset them.
Oh, yeah. Chinese.
They say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Taiwan is part of their territory.
Oh, dear.
That's what it is.
I didn't pay much attention, but...
It was in the news this week.
Minister of War or Secretary of War is upset about...
how much we spend.
Yes, on the military.
Well, he can go and get knotted.
This is the Minister of War from America.
Mr. Toy Soldier.
I think
he...
Because the former Defence Minister, Wayne Mapp, He points out that New Zealand's unique geopolitical circumstances should negate the need to bolster defence spending spending to the level Washington demands. Washington wants us to spend 3%.
Yeah. And who are we going to buy this extra military spending equipment off?
Let me think.
I wonder who it would be.
America?
You think? Yeah. You know, is this about really our interests or about selling America, throwing its weight around and knowing that we'll have to buy it off them?
I think you've answered your question.
Yeah.
This Wayne Matt points out, there's no actual invasions like Ukraine or anything like that in our region. The pressures are different.
I'm
thinking that you need a small military, but highly trained in civil defence and that sort
other stuff. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah, yeah.
And disciplined, I guess.
He was defence minister from 2008 to 2011. Yeah. While NATO members might have reason to target defence spending to 3.5% of GDP, Pacific countries have faced a different strategic environment.
Why don't we spend 1% on detente and diplomacy?
Peace
initiatives and all that. How much could be sorted out if they really made a big attempt, you know?
Yeah, but I think the
corporation or individuals don't see a profit in peace.
Yes, and look, go back to China, Taiwan, in the end of the day, they have sort of got apart from interference from America, et cetera, who's always selling munitions to Taiwan, et cetera, they have got a bit of a detente, you know, the civil war's still ongoing in one way. They haven't got a peace agreement. They've just, the KMT went over to Taiwan and took over.
KMT.
So they have got a sort of a standoff that has worked for a long time. Basically, that and Taiwan and China trade with each other. The only ointment really is, and the deal basically for the Chinese, don't declare independence, and we'll leave you alone. But they still want them to come under the Chinese umbrella. That's their ambition, cause of the civil war. And they are the same people, apart from a few indigenous Taiwanese that from earlier times.
From the north, live in the north here.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but of course, you know, remember Nancy Pelosi hopping in her aeroplane with all these military of missiles and military stuff, and the Chinese were really upset. You sort of can't blame them, you know. But if you just practice diplomacy, then you can probably you don't actually have to agree, but you can agree to disagree and carry on, so to speak. You know,
he was basically saying we've been freeloading off him.
And
in the same breath he says, he noted he didn't have anything against New Zealand and was looking forward to working with Penk, who's our Ministry of Defence.
I'd just like to say to him,
enhancing capabilities, adding the bilateral relationship has been a very fruitful one over a very long time.
Can you just tell Mr. Hesketh and his friends that New Zealand
can
has...
You say that?
Does he have New Zealand has free healthcare so far, touch wood, and America doesn't. We don't have many weapons, but at least we have a society that functions. Does America function properly? No. So
yes, we had the US here during the Second World War.
Mm. Yeah,
and I think they had bases at Warkworth and
down Paikakariki,
I think,
down that way.
But the most famous incident that happened in that time was the Manor Street riot.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the treatment of the US soldiers?
There was a treatment of the US soldiers
against Maori
saying, using their racist nonsense, saying you can't come in here, and it caused a stink amongst the European New Zealand soldiers, and all hell broke out.
Weren't the African-American soldiers all separated inside the American army anyway, generally?
And there's a famous story about that in the north of England about that.
And Australia,
I think, talking about the racist element, I think there was a racist element in the Australian army in Wales during the First World War.
It could well have been. Nationalism and racism and white supremacy.
And that follows on to the article in Wednesday's Times about nuclear-free stance unchanged. Prime Minister says no review is planned and justifies New Zealand's defence spending after US criticism. So I have to agree with this the Prime Minister on this occasion. Yeah. Stay out of our... Poor politics.
Yeah, well, and you look at American politicians, how many of the, and this is what should worry all of us, America seems to be doing these policies and they're also doing this insider trading. You need to up your spending, and hello, I happen to own lots of shares in my family, or own shares in the drone company that you're buying it off. Oh, you know, so, and it's, you know, there appears to be a lot of it, and it will probably come out once Trump loses his power, but he's so far immune, and there's been lots of perceived shadiness.
Replaced by someone else.
Well, is he the first?
He's not the only one.
No way.
And it's supposed to go back. The military complex in America is huge. And of course, if you're an ex-MP or an ex-lieutenant general or colonel in the armed forces over there, when you leave the military, what do? You'd often get a seat on the board of one of these companies, etc. It's a bit of a club. I just think they're trying to force everyone into tooling up. And I think, like Map says, we're isolated. If we kept our integrity and kept an independent thing. Are we going to be attacked militarily? I doubt it. It's a long way to have an invasion, even with sophisticated stuff.
Yeah.
You're more likely to be, population. Let's face it. Population, if you, a country could change because of population.
Yeah.
We've seen that, you know. So,
because the only fear this country had ever had of an invasion was in the 19th century.
That was the Russians.
There was a submarine sighted off the coast of New Zealand during the First World War.
Yeah.
And the Japanese got as far as Sydney Harbour.
But you've still got to occupy a country.
Yeah, you have to.
Unless you bring in migrants with it. If you look, and Israel's a classical example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have, they were the smaller population, but what have they done? They brought in, mainly Jews from around the world to shore up the population. And finally, outnumber the Arabs by hook or by crook, so to speak. And
the latter.
And then, of course, then they go, we'll just do this law. We'll just do that law. Back with military force, off it goes.
Yeah, I understand all that.
But
they currently are still, they're in Lebanon still. They occupied that castle, which they'd occupied about so many years ago.
And they held it for
18 years. So it was a Crusader castle.
Isn't that the irony?
It's got a lovely panoramic views all the way around, so it's strategic.
It's just the irony that it's in a Crusader castle. What were the Crusaders notorious for? We're still sort of battling Muslims
that story.
The significance will be, I imagine, I haven't seen anything, but the evangelical movements in America, etc., are probably all crowing about, this is one back for the godliness side,
that'd
be going on,
But I think there was a phone conversation between Trump and Netanyahu over that whole issue of continuing the attack on Lebanon, and Trump, for a better word, was brassed off because it was impacting on the deal between the U.S. and Iran.
It's more and more apparent who rules America, isn't it? Who's controlling America foreign policy? And as I say, when you agree to have a ceasefire and one side keeps deciding, that doesn't apply to Lebanon, it's not as though Lebanon's actually it's got its own independence, an independent country.
And
Israel is occupying that one end of it so far, just dominating it militarily. It's a superpower militarily. But it's certainly making itself. It's making America look bad, and the Americans know it. It's not a good look for Trump or anything.
No.
And his supporters might be going, that's all right, and et cetera. But come the midterms, if he doesn't sort this out, Americans don't like paying lots for their petrol at the pump, et cetera.
Because some of them have joined the dots, unlike the ignorant ones haven't, but the ones who are smart will have. This is what's happened.
Given the news this week, has any opposition party spoken out?
About
anything?
I think I read something about them saying something. That sounds open-ended statement, doesn't it?
Let's see, I've got a Rod Emerson's View cartoon, and it's got it's got the Labour campaign and to one side of the picture, for the benefit of the listeners, and he's got Chris Hipkins dressed like a racehorse jockey.
Yeah.
And he's got a livery with Labour on it. And you go to the bigger part of the cartoon and it's approaching warp speed, which shows Hipkins mounted on a large snail.
Yeah. I know. One of the opposition MPs was on that banned list. Duncan Webb.
Right.
Yeah.
That sums up my. I just think Labour's been really, really light.
Labour-lite.
Yeah.
Labour-lite. Yeah. I suppose say how much they have or how much are they holding their. Hopefully they're holding their powder in their
well. One can hope. I suspect they when they went to see Keir Starmer shortly after he came to power to get on strategy and tactics.
Yeah,
they're going to adopt the same approach that Keir Starmer Labour Party did in the UK by not actually contesting the election, just letting the previous government
destroy themselves.
Offering
it's
anything.
An awful thing. They're doing the same here.
Marching to power without doing the work.
Yeah, so I hope I'm wrong, but
it seems
a smack of just sort of sit back and the other let the other lot shoot themselves in the foot.
Let's face it, Winston's been dominating the New Zealand First has been dominating the media for quite some time.
Yeah, he's doing very well in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
You know. This is a classic. I look at this as a classic cartoon.
And it's great, eh? Yeah. Approaching warp speed.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, if you're on the left, you need a strong Labour Party, a strong Green Party, and a strong Māori Party, really. Because otherwise, what will happen is we'll have the election, the usual people won't vote. Then it's decided.
And usually people will vote.
Exactly, Mick. And then that 10% that will decide it in the end, they might not just come, they might not like National, but they won't necessarily go to Labour, they'll go to New Zealand First.
Yeah,
and then it goes back to Winston strutting around with, like he usually does, deciding, going, who's he going to be with? And the chances are he'll go back with the Tories. Because he is a Tory,
He's a Tory. Yeah, 72.
We do need a strong left as an alternative.
Because what you're saying about Winston Peters, so is what's happening on the Facebook front.
Oh, of course.
With the rah-rah crowd and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
And I say, it goes back, it's, sure, the Nats aren't polling that well, but they've still got their core people that vote blue no matter who.
And
they're all pretty strong. And I say, Winston keeps going and Labour stays quiet, Winston could not just pick them off a few off the Nats. They won't get any off ACT, I wouldn't think. They're too diehard. He could well pick off a lot of Labour voters.
Yeah, and there's...
So in the end, Labour's got nothing to... Just doing nothing, I think, will play into Winston's hands.
They've got to be... They should be coming up with a strategy. And it's... Because they're targeting the middle ground, as we went on about before. When they should be targeting... Those people who potentially don't vote,
and they've tried, but it's just
too hard.
It seems it's very hard because it goes back that they push for
those same people they're trying to swing have been ignored for how long?
And how do you get someone who's basically politically illiterate? Yeah. Does have no comprehension of how it works.
Is clinging to a minimum wage job and doesn't want to jeopardise it,
or whatever. Or doesn't know how the system works. Thinks someone with a nice car has worked hard. Just worked harder than him.
He might be a decent person.
All that sort of myth stuff can happen. But I say, it's got to get him to want to vote.
Yeah, that's the issue.
The Māori Party even the Māori electorates, the Māori Party's done really well up until recently. It's got a few internal stuff.
But even they're probably having problems engaging.
Their turnout's still poor and it worsened in Māori electorates.
That's a staggers belief.
It does.
And the poor, let's face it, it doesn't really matter to a rich person who gets in to power.
Yeah, that's the...
Even if you pay more tax, you'll still be having crayfish. You'll still have your beach house and your lake house.
Yeah.
And you've hedged your bets. So you're fine. Whereas if you're poor, it's quite critical who gets into power.
You need to incentivise them. And there's messaging there that should incentivise them, like the income-related rent rise, tinkering with what they call temporary additional support.
Yeah.
And that's those areas, because that's going to impact on the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, same group of people.
So they should be incentivised. And the messaging from Labor should be around that.
Yeah, it seems to be just lacklustre, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're saying what they
that's what makes me think they're doing a Starmer. They're going to sit back and just hope that the other side will implode and shoot themselves in the foot.
They said the big hairy news talked to both Barbara Edmonds, their finance spokesperson, and Hipkins, the leader of Labor, and they were saying, "Well, we're releasing our policies in June." Yeah,
it's June now. Where are they?
And then it'll be late June. Then it'll be July.
I think they will.
They're going to have to do something.
Otherwise, Winston's just going to control the media all the way up to the election.
Something needs to control the narrative or take it from
that's
him.
A narrative.
Need to take control the narrative and challenge him.
Can I just segue into that?
There's
a very good, and I don't usually pay that much attention, but Thomas Coughlin's one of the opinion writers in the Herald. The headline is Today's Herald, New Zealand Herald. So, time for MPs to end rot and rebuild trust. And like you're looking at the cartoon, there's a cartoon here of the MP's progress, and it's got 1854, and it's got a picture of a trough and the bottom end of a pig going oink. And then it's got 2026, same trough, same pig. Vested interest and expenses.
So some things never change.
Yeah, and this is basically, the article is, you know, the idea of paying MPs and all that was to stop corruption so they'd have a fair go and they could not be bought off by vested interests and everything else, et cetera, and give the little people. And so he basically talks about that, but there's can I just read out a couple of things? There's something unseemly about the fact 80 members of the executive are claiming the full $1,000 a week. It suggests an executive that isn't claiming back expenses for costs incurred, but a culture of passing the go monopoly and collecting $52,000. It's the same emotional attraction to the idea that we should have performance pay for MPs. So
that's off.
Meritocracy.
And it's like, oh, I'm entitled to it. It's like a lot of people have that. It's like, I'm entitled to it, so I should take it.
They've earned it or not.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he goes on about how some MPs work very hard for their 180 grand and others do not much.
Yes.
Particularly if a party has a significant majority.
That's
been the case ever since politics.
Yeah.
You always get hard-working individuals, then you get other individuals who just sit back and
carry the weight.
Pick up their parliamentary pension and wages.
And he has a bit of a dig at Social Development Minister Louise Upston, you know, who led the charge by.
Remember to bring in the Helen Clark's
report.
That segues into that, and she highlights.
So he just talks about, you know, Social Development Minister Louise Upston, because there was a bit of scandal, as people might remember, a couple of weeks ago, that she's claiming one of these $1,000 a week people.
The
Herald.
Money she's on.
You have to imagine
anyone
that
else is means tested by another name.
The quote from his article is, "The current scandal began after Upston, when asked questions about changing eligibility rules for the accommodation supplement." This is for the poor people, etc. "We want to target support for the accommodation supplement to those who need it most, and they are renters. They are not people who are using taxpayer support to increase their own asset." And he said, "Words many New Zealanders would agree with, but words that sound ever so slightly hypocritical coming from an MP using the allowance to do much the same thing." Exactly what you're pointing at, Mick.
Because if you're on a benefit,
the difference between your quality of life.
Depends on what your status is. If you're single, if you're married, no children, single or married with children,
that would determine
how much accommodation supplement you get.
Yeah,
but they've got a standard rate of 1,000, and they also have this high salary and probably other sources of income.
And you're allowed to own the building, rent it to yourself.
But other people, it's means tested.
Yeah, it is.
You have to jump through hoops and meet certain criteria, but other people, seem to just get it handed out to them.
And this, and I'll just finish it off in another
she
part.
She doesn't need it.
No, no.
It just says, the naked routing of the system by MPs to build personal wealth has meant the current system has begun to look an awful lot like the ugly medieval system it was meant to replace.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it's very good. It's he's picked it
well,
up.
We need
quite
more
well.
Articles like that to point out the disparity in the inequality. Whereas poor people are made to jump through hoops to get a few dollars.
Yeah.
And someone like that can.
Yeah, the only thing I'm disappointed in, he doesn't say, well, you know, to me it's like, okay, if you want to be an MP, surely you shouldn't be doing it because you want to get paid. It's like. Well, Energy Trust or...
You want to perform some sort of public service.
You want to do it. I've got a vision for this country.
Or
hear
this
me
community.
Out. Or this... Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like, well, I'm capable... And a lot of them do it. I'm capable, so I'm going into the private field. John Key was a typical example. He was capable. Where was his vision for the country? It wasn't there.
Mm.
It was just, oh, look, I can be the Prime Minister, I'll beat you. And off he goes. And he was... And, he was very popular, to be fair. But, of course, what was his vision?
Yeah.
What was his drive apart from wanting to be famous?
There,
or whatever it was.
There wasn't any vision, was there?
No. Or to continue the club. Or who knows? But, where's someone, and I don't know enough about Michael Joseph Savage, but where's someone saying, I want all people in New Zealand to have a house? Where's that visionary? Where's, I want all people to be able to have an equal chance?
Yeah,
and I want us to be judged by this, how we look after our poor and vulnerable and disabled.
Yeah, countries judged by how they treat
their citizens. Yeah,
yeah, instead of I'm capable. That's why I thought I'd be an MP.
So this is just a gravy train, isn't it? It's just a
pigs
in the trough.
Not all, but the article implies.
Yes. But that cartoon image there, it sets it up perfectly.
And then the trouble is because they sort of there, then other people look at it and go, well, it's good enough for them.
Yeah.
I'll put my head in the trough at work. I'll put my head in the trough in the benefit system. I'll put my head in the trough.
The old version of the coin is people say, well, look at the pack of.
Yeah.
I'm not going to vote for these
people. Exactly.
Walk away.
And if you're not going to vote, who does that help? These people in the trough.
Yeah, the oinkers amongst us. Yeah.
So.
Because they had political reform in the Britain during the 1830s to get rid of all this sort of nonsense.
That's what he's talking about.
It's
crept back big time.
The Chartists.
The old
Chartists, yeah.
The old Rotten Boroughs.
Rotten Boroughs and the Test and Corporation stuff, So, yeah. There's an aside to that, and it does involve the so-called MP for Taupo, Upston. There's a photo that was taken of her leaving with a blue box under her arm, and the question was about the accommodation that she was getting.
Well, she's not. It's legal. There's nothing.
She's entitled to get it, and someone else has to struggle to get any sort.
But let's face it. She chooses to take the $1,000 or not. She doesn't have to choose. Take it. She could say, I'm okay, thank you. Yeah. I've got three houses or whatever, and I'm all right. I get 180 grand a year. Or she's a cabinet minister. She gets more than 180 grand a year.
Yeah. So somebody had taken a photo of her leaving.
With a blue box
under her arm. And now that's caused a bit of a stink as far as probably the speaker was concerned, and he's looking to ban people who do that sort of thing.
What's the blue box represent?
Her papers that she must have been referring to. During her speech, when she made that speech about those changes that you inferred about the accommodation supplement and the temporary additional support, that's when the question about her accommodation supplement was asked, and that's when she walked away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when that image was taken.
But I think Mick, had
we've heard this before, like the housing, who's entitled to emergency housing? It seems to be rife that one lot of seem to just put their hand out.
Yeah, I think they.
And that's in the rules, and that's okay. Yeah,
that's okay. And then someone else who's struggling. Oh no, so you don't meet the criteria.
Yeah, and let's face it. Even if someone's in it, are they going to be super wealthy out of it?
No, that's
a question that candidates coming election time should be asked about rorts. Do you accept the rort system?
Yeah.
Or don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Given that other people have to jump through bloody hoops.
But Mick's right. If we lose confidence in our politicians and our leadership, the real danger for democracy is that people won't vote.
Yeah, well, that's probably...
The R doesn't matter, they're all the same.
It's started already for a
Of course, it's been a while. So you need a strong democracy. You need...
And that calls for participation.
Yeah.
And pressure
from public to say it's not good enough.
People in public of this to account.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why you talked about performance-based for MPs as well.
That's what they're talking about.
Well, they should be.
Because some MPs, you never hear... From one election to the next.
No, yeah.
Well, that's what he said.
Other people, they're busy working and you'll get the usual, and the ministers, because they always have a high profile, but you'll get other MPs who, on the various issues, will be mentioned, but making a stand about something. But the vast majority you don't even hear
of. Well, here it is on this. Sadly, the same person will also say that a large number of MPs don't deliver very much value at all. Increasingly, lazy backbenchers don't even write their own speeches, instead turning to generative AI to write them. New Zealand's tightly whipped parliament means that those useless MPs don't even need to vote. The ranking MP in the House simply gets up and casts it for them. I didn't know that. Right. Tragically, the very worst of these MPs tend to stick around.
Of course.
Yeah. I think one of them's a speaker currently. And they tend to stick around.
They know they're on a good wicket and plan their lives accordingly.
They know which side their bread's buttered, don't they?
Yeah, that's why you have that performance-based
professional politicians.
Yes, they're
professional politicians.
And you see that, let's face it, you see it even in local councils and in energy trusts and all that. Some people.
I'm worried about the contender from my part of the city.
So, we'll see. But anyway, I thought that was...
That's an interesting comment to make, even though he's from that side, though.
Of course.
From the privileged side of life, yeah.
Well, he's got some sort of conscience to
well, them. Yeah, some people haven't, eh? Yeah.
No. Well, some people have no scruples at all. I was talking to someone yesterday and said, how do these people sleep? I said, they don't have a conscience.
But
they don't have any scruples. They're in it to do what they do. And if they go to bed and they know some people down the road are hungry... They don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just point out?
Yeah.
For you two doubting Thomases about Labour. Labour is floating reforms of the accommodation allowance system, and if the current climate persists, reform feels very likely.
Mm.
Very likely.
It's only three
magnifying glass top?
Yeah, well, unless it's in there. Yeah. Red.
Doesn't fill me with confidence.
There should have been open challenges to what... I know that Mendes was challenged Upson over this whole...
Why are there challenges about this fast-tracking?
I think the Greens have been more
vocal
about the challenges to these sorts of things, opposed to Labour sort of murmuring in the background somewhere.
He hasn't given very good interviews in the past where people have tried to pin him down on policies and he's just blagged it and said absolutely nothing.
Well, he should be saying something.
Well, he said something, but it's meaningless because there's no details, no substance.
Because, as
Fred said earlier on, you try and keep your powder dry for... But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to step up.
And I think,
I'm sorry, we disagree and we're going to... whatever.
Yeah, well, people, for example, will see the rorts, and that's clearly obvious.
Mm.
And would any of your policies be to say, well, we need to deal with this? That surely would capture the imagination of people who are concerned about rorting and who are brassed off about with politicians and don't want to vote for them because they see that nonsense.
Which is the real tragedy.
Mm.
They won't vote or they don't vote.
And it's echoed in local elections too.
But
this sort of behaviour will increase that non-participation.
I can understand it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you don't participate...
You can't change the system.
Yeah.
That's what...
And what people need to realise is an awful lot of people in that category, there are more numbers of them. If they all suddenly stood up, there's an awful lot of us, more of them than that lot.
Yeah.
And we all voted with the one voice, we could actually make some impression.
You can make an impression, that's what they say.
And the system's broken. It might be broken, it doesn't mean it can't be repaired. It's broken because it's been undermined by certain individuals and parties. There's no reason why it can't be reverse engineered back to what we had
before.
Previously.
And it's, yeah, just, it's just like, oh, you know, the perks are right for me.
But not for thee.
But for thee, that's on a benefit and poor. Oh, we got to be tight with you guys because that's government money. That's people, taxpayers' money.
But isn't the money that they receive kind of in that realm?
Well, exactly. I
mean, it's public money.
It's public money.
So hypocrisy.
And I've got one more thing is, this is quite, this, you might relate to this, Craig, because you use the bus quite a bit. The controversial bus stop for review.
Oh, the
controversial Pembroke.
Yeah.
Controversial road changes introduced in in-lane bus stops to Pembroke Street are to be reviewed. This, that bus stop was part of a $55,000 budget for localised bus infrastructure upgrades under the central government's Transport Choices Climate Emergency Funding Pool, with local ratepayers, citizens, I should say, covering, who don't donated more, chopped in $110,000.
Yeah.
But that bus stop on Pembroke, that's because when it pulls up that stop, every traffic, all traffic
nothing
stops.
Go past, I suppose.
No, nothing
and
go
people
past.
People will be tempted to try and open.
And his car's coming the other way.
It should be shot because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it should have never gone, it should have never gone ahead.
And is it new?
Well, no, it's been there for a while now, but
yeah.
I can't understand why they put it in the middle of it. Why didn't they put it back on into the pavement?
I
can't understand that.
Yeah, and it can't be the only one. There must be other bus stops like that which are a bit borderline, you know.
Yeah, can you go past? Yeah,
I think this is the worst
one. Pembroke's the worst one because a lot of traffic up
there. And it's
busy
both ways. Yeah.
And there's a bus stop on for the Orbiter, mainly, just on the other side of Flagstaff.
Oh, right.
It comes close to a traffic stop. Yeah,
it's similar.
Kind of like that,
designed these, I would have thought someone would have gone around all these different bus routes and picked the ideal bus stop with a view to intersections and pedestrian crossings.
Oh, you're starting to sound like me, Mick. Glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, yeah.
In a perfect world. What really causes it is the amount of money involved.
Oh,
and they've had this review and they admit they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
They don't pay for it. We've paid for it.
Because
the rectification might be just as bad as the problem they've got now.
Did they take a bus driver with them and a couple of bus users when they're doing this?
Well,
stuff?
He used to go down over Hillcrest to go to the library, Mansell Ave.
Yeah.
The corner was so tight.
It ripped up the road.
And the bus driver had to swing out and had to avoid an island in the middle.
Negotiate
around the corner. And every time the rear axle went over the curb.
So whoever
mapped out the route didn't factor that in.
But as a positive, they have changed, they've stopped the metal.
That's now gone.
But
the bus is still sitting there forlorn, unused.
But it's great for me.
But buses require a large amount of room to manoeuvre around a corner because you've got how long a bus is?
Yeah, that's
30 metres or something.
You just like to know if people who design these things, people who favour these sorts of things,
walk the route to see.
See if it's potentially
feasible.
Feasible, I agree with that, but they probably don't.
No. Well, they might have in the old days stayed there, and they haven't figured out an alternative, so they've just.
Well, I think the bus stop here used to be further down Pembroke Street.
Okay.
Because there's one down the bottom of the hill before you go back up.
Yeah, I know that one. There's two on that, two either
on
side.
That intersection.
But I think this one
one's on the top of the brow of the hill.
I think it's further along as you head to the hospital. It used to be.
Is it just past the YMCA?
This is outside the YMCA.
Yeah.
This one, the one there used to be, I think it used to be further along.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why they sort of kind of put it there. That seems a bit of a...
Why should I be surprised? This is the same group of people decided to revamp the bus station.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which should have been built this right way around in the
first
place.
Never
mind.
But never happened.
They spent $7 million on it.
Yeah.
Anybody going over to Waihee this afternoon?
Wasn't thinking of it.
No.
There's a certain individual.
One of the...
Who's promoting the fast track.
I think he's one of the people... He features in that picture with the...
Tomorrow afternoon, is it? Sunday.
Headlands Trough. Yes. Shane Jones. Yeah, public meeting. Why he? Today, 2 p.m. Yeah. If you're interested.
Yeah.
Bring your rotten eggs.
So that's me, I'm afraid. But yeah, it's really hard to find good news.
I've got some good
or
news.
Or meaningful good news.
I've got some good news for those people, young people intending to go to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
They're just increasing their minimum wage to 63,000.
Interesting.
In New Zealand, Australian, 52,245.
Interesting message, because there's an article in the paper the other day who claimed that there was people from Australia coming to NZ for job opportunities.
In certain fields?
Yeah,
probably
ambulance.
Okay.
They were coming over this way because it was deemed better for them than it was in Australia. Okay. Imagine this move widens wage gap. Yeah.
Mm. But it's quite interesting. So their minimum wage will rise in July
So that might reverse.
To $26.44 Australian. Our pay is $23.
So that might reverse.
New Zealand, of course.
So they might reverse the trend that was highlighted in this article during the week, and people coming over this way as opposed to going that way.
Yeah, and the other real biggest danger is you go from 40 hours, suddenly you're doing 37 hours, or you're doing 32 hours. So you've got a full time job, but it's not quite. And those if you've got a low paid job, it's those last few hours as you spare money. Because your rent's got to come out, your food, your power, da da da. So if you suddenly they say you can do 36 hours rather than 40, those 4 hours as your spending money, you know,
your discretionary.
Yeah, that's the word, Mick.
Was it increased too?
Which one? Australia.
Yeah.
It's gone to. It just says.
I think you said 26, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just they've gone up to. Well, we should be making more than 52,245.
Oh, so it's more than here anyway. So, at least
houses. Mate, so is that gross?
That'd be gross.
Yeah, gross. Yeah.
What's the cost of living like over there?
Well, it probably depends where you live, I think. Yeah. I think Sydney is quite expensive.
Well, I mean, I know some areas.
And Melbourne would be the same.
Desperately poor people living in areas, eh?
Yeah, they're deprived areas within Sydney, we know.
Yeah.
And particularly we're amongst the indigenous population.
Yeah. I've quoted in this article it said this living wage Aotearoa New Zealand chairperson Muriel Tunoho's niece was among those making the hop. Her niece, aged in her 20s, was earning about $150 more a week after switching from a manufacturing job in New Zealand to care work in Sydney.
Wow. Yeah,
the comment that struck me with her was that she actually didn't realise that living here became more and more difficult, struggling on poverty wages. Presumably this, in brackets, minimum wage difference, is going to be just another attraction to draw workers from
New Zealand. Is one of the most expensive places in the OECD to live.
Because people are greedy.
Yeah, we're not far behind Canada.
Yeah.
Canada's got problems too.
We're a greedy country. We're
a greed-based economy.
Yeah, greed-based economy. We're greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk about... The only thing that sends people into St. Vitus's dance, particularly in this country, are things like seeing the booming tourism industry in Queenstown, for example.
Yeah.
And the workers who can't afford to live there.
Can we segue into another thing we've picked up in the Hill? Hello. What's the chances of that? It's in the Hill today again. It's called Ghost Streets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically an article about I won't call it a nobby. Upper class.
You just did.
Oh, did I?
It was heard.
Sorry. About an upper class suburb, Calvin Heights, which is.
Is this Queenstown?
In Queenstown. Right. And it's sort of expensive housing, da da da. But what it does suffer from is a lot of people, it's their holiday home area.
Right.
So there's not many people living. And at census night, 30% or so of the people weren't there.
See, there's some individuals get to vote in that local.
Oh, of course, they're ratepayers.
So you're talking about underutilised houses.
Well, and then the same, and part of the article is also about all the people trying to get
accommodation.
Have to work to service these type of people.
Yeah.
And they can't find anywhere.
Yeah.
You mean slaves?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, wage slaves.
Yeah, because they have to live in other places. Might have to live
and
in
their transport.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
But see, like Wanaka or Tiana or Arrowtown, there's places that they talk about.
Mm.
But then those sort of places will become expensive.
Well, they're all full of, as I say, unoccupied houses by the wealthy. And you see it in the North Island. Places, Whangamata, Waihi Beach, the Mount. There's lots of places that are empty.
Mm.
Lots of houses. There's lots of housing in New Zealand,
just not available.
It's not shared very distributed. Yeah. No, you know, no. It's not distributed. So yeah. Anywhere that Taupo is another one. There's you know, and
all,
you can
all those holiday places.
Yeah, you go at best time to see how occupied it is you go somewhere which when it's dark. You know, just on dark and how many lights come on at 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night.
At a certain time of the year.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and sure they'll be there, and they will. They own them and they pay their rates, etc. But do they? What are the apart from that time when they're on holiday there, or the kids are, or the you know members of the club are there? What do they contribute? Are they joining the local community groups, volunteer fire brigades, and all
probably
that?
Not.
No, they'll be drinking their Chardonnays and talking.
And
to
then, of course, they put up the price of property prices, and of course, it. And the other thing is, to be fair to this article, it's not just the wealthy. It's also well, it is the wealthy in a way. B&Bs and temporary accommodation. Yeah. They'll rent their spare house out for a week or a night or something.
Right.
Yeah, so they won't have a rent, you know, rented out to people who want to pay a weekly rent.
Yeah.
Which happened, as you say, the probably same group of people own both.
So ghost streets, eh?
I may be wrong, but I doubt it. Yeah.
We do it for time.
Yeah. All right, we got some time.
Well, the thing that came to me this week, it's not really... Yeah, apparently the Israelis are upset that how dare they, Hezbollah, are using drones that they can't knock out. And there were, the guy, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, who I can't stand listening to, he's...
Oh, David the Drongo.
Something, yeah.
What's his name?
He's almost playing... It's not fair. Their weapons are better than ours and we can't knock them out. I think you're the same individuals. You've bombed and killed thousands of people.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I don't want anyone to get killed.
No, you don't.
Be Israeli or Palestinian or Lebanese, whoever. I don't want any. But you've got the gall to
and talk about
claim it's unfair.
Optics. Couldn't the Israelis have got someone better than him as their ambassador? Because he's got slick black hair.
He's
You
can
just,
almost see him in a uniform.
That's right. From a certain country, from a certain decade.
With certain
century.
Insignia. I thought, you bleeding heart.
Oh, I wasn't.
The number of people you've killed over the years, decades, and...
And Israel used drones to kill and target people. And then the other side does it on its...
Hezbollah have got better drones than we have. We can't knock them out.
It's not fair.
You know, he was almost in tears.
I was fairly close.
Yeah.
Danny Dannon.
That's him.
Danny Dannon.
Every time he opens his mouth, I'll have to put him on mute.
Yeah, he's not the best person for the as to be there.
He's not a good look. He's not. He typifies the current regime.
He's not
on his own as far as his political views as such.
Yeah, and that's why it's not just Netanyahu. It's Netanyahu's the bad guy and all the Israelis is just innocent. No.
There's lots of Netanyahu's.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's lots of Trumps.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a bit interesting. If we're on the subject of the so-called gentleman, he earned a bachelor's degree in He earned a bachelor's degree in international affairs from the Florida International University, and a master's degree in public policy from the Hebrew University of Israel. Right. After his national service in the IDF, terrorist organisation, between 1989 and 1993. Dannon was sent to Miami by the Jewish agency.
Is he a dual citizen?
He could potentially be.
If he was in Florida at a younger age.
He probably holds a diplomatic passport.
No? He must pop into Mar-a-Lago occasionally. Big as belief.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't go, you're pathetic.
I think the Russians were a bit in that realm of being pathetic too over the Ukrainian drones.
And
of course, you mentioned there's a drone went down in Albania.
Romania.
Romania.
A couple of them, actually. There was one that had an apartment.
Great debate as to where it came from.
They sort of pointed fingers to Moscow.
Shall we stitch it together? Here we are in New Zealand. They're telling us all to tool up, etc. And warfare has changed. Drones are now controlling everything. Okay,
and semi-autonomous weapons.
Semi-autonomous weapons. So we get a frigate, we get a brand new frigate, polish it up, you know. And, you know, what's our real defence against ballistic stuff and all that? You know,
drones.
And you saw that even in America, they've sort of blocked the Iranians, etc., from their oil and that, but they can't get too close to Iran because then they're threatened by small cheap drones that can't necessarily sink the warship, but they can do damage.
Yeah,
you know?
Extensive damage.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, drone warfare. So we have to be very careful about, oh, we got to tool up and get the military. The wars are changing. The Russians and Ukrainians have found that out.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They've both backed off from the air forces can't go on either side. They use drones because the planes will be shot
wasn't
down.
Wasn't there a drone or an aircraft flew over the border of Russia and the Baltic states?
The Ukrainians have set off attacked an oil refinery out of St. Petersburg. They can shoot down some of them. But they get through, and they're cheap. So you can send, instead of sending five aircraft, you can send 500.
Yeah, these drones, yeah.
And okay, you can shoot down how many, but you're not going to shoot down all of them.
It's just a war of attrition, isn't it?
Yes.
The number of lives have been lost on both sides.
But who's making money from it?
The same individuals we referred to earlier.
Same people are making money from Israelis blowing up people. The same group of people are making money from the Russians and Ukrainians blowing up.
Bomb cities.
Exactly. It's a circle. People talk about the Epstein club. Forget the sex side of it. It's actually the club side of it power and control.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They probably own houses on Ghost Street as well.
And the New Zealanders aren't exempt. I think New Zealanders are in the boots and all as well. You know, that's the reality. They'll have shares. They have share portfolios and, you know, so.
Yeah.
There's no investigative reporters, and maybe they wouldn't be able to find out, but it'd be interesting to know how many shares are owned in military companies around the world by wealthy New Zealanders.
Oh, yeah.
And include not just wealthy ones, to be fair, also us, if we're employers, your super scheme or whatever, they could well have money in these military companies,
That's what they're saying, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I say America, it's quite interesting. America makes all this money out of military, which they want us to, tool up, etc. And of course, Israel and Ukraine are the perfect, what do you call, front customers. Men, because they make customers. Them... And yeah, Israel's customers. Quite happy to go to war with its neighbours or anyone that looks at it, seems to be. And Ukraine and Russia. So it's a perfect war if you've got shares in the military.
So Hezbollah are using drones. Yeah. Iran have been using drones against the US military. So, yeah.
But let's face it, the media's sort of making out that Hezbollah is sort of, hurting Israel and that. And they had done some damage, but Israel is a superpower compared to Hezbollah.
And
we know that because in the end, how many thousand Lebanese have been killed and the
murdered,
displaced.
They can hurt a few, but
there would also be this attrition factor when it comes to the Zionist state. They can't maintain this forever.
We can only maintain an occupation if you bring in settlers.
Yeah.
We did it here. New Zealand, how do you maintain something? You bring in a population to outvote that.
But an active war front like that, as opposed to then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but, Israel has always used populations to the promised land.
We'll
have a vote, we'll take more of the West Bank and...
How much of that sort of invitation thing is it losing its gloss, given that it's an active war zone?
You wonder.
Yeah, active war zone.
Israel's the prime minister, a safe place for Jews. Hasn't it really become a safe place for Jews?
I would doubt that.
Yeah.
Even though they probably lived there a long time, probably say, no, it's not.
And it'll be so tense. Forget whether it's safe, it's tense.
When those sirens go off, when those drones come overhead. Yeah.
And it's what ranked as the most hated country in the world.
They may be tense, but they're not going anywhere near through what Palestinians are going through.
Absolutely,
Mick. Yeah, and on that note, we're out of here. You'll catch us on the podcast or on freefm.org.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.